So I can let you know right now that we are not planning to talk about Coca-Cola this morning, all right? Just worked out appropriately to find those kind of bottles to make it all work. But as the team was here and doing this skit, you could see a couple of things were happening. First of all, you saw that Alexis was really quite happy at the start, right? She got her little can, she's all excited. But the minute she started to see all the other things that were happening in other people's lives, all of a sudden those jealousies and different feelings started to rise up on the inside. She began to look at the other gifts rather than what God had given to her. And in our lives as Christians, it can be easily that way, can't it? You see, maybe, in fact, we had some gifted singers and people playing instruments up here. How many people enjoyed worship this morning? It was good, right? You know, and some of you, including me, were like, man, I wish I could do that, you know. And we have those feelings. And I think that there can be some wholeness and healthiness to it. It's fine to acknowledge, say, man, that was good. You know, that's wonderful, that gift on their lives. But then there's that line, isn't there? When you cross over to jealousy and say, God, why didn't you do that for me? Or why don't I have this instead of that? But here's the thing. What God has given you is what God has given you, tailor-made for you and you alone. That makes you unique and special in the Lord. But so often we get so fixated on what's going on around us, we forget that. Here's what we do. We often get so fixated on the gifts that we forget the gift. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's the person I want to talk to you about today. You see, he's not a power source. He's more than that. In fact, the Bible refers to him as the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. Now, as we begin to look at Scripture, we see that he's been around a long, long time. In fact, if you have your Bibles, you have your apps, or however you're going to get there, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, we see that it opens up right in the very beginning. It says that God created what? The heavens and the earth. And then it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And then it says this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then verse 3 says this, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. But I want to take a few minutes and camp on verse 2 for just a few moments. As you begin to look at that, first of all, you see that God began to do something. And I'm glad he never stopped. You never see where in the creation story where God says, okay, enough, no more. Because if he did that, everything that we have now would fall to pieces. Because the Bible says that everything that we see and everything we can't see consists and is held together by his word. In other words, when God said, let there be light, he didn't say, stop the light now. But everything is still going. If you look at where we are and you look at the universe around us, and scientists will even tell you that the Big Bang is still happening. And God started that Big Bang, didn't he? And so he never said, stop. It's still expanding at exponential rates, you know. Faster than the speed of light. It's just amazing. So you and I are held together by what? We can see by Scripture that the Holy Spirit was a part of that holding together, pulling things together. Because it says that the earth was empty, was void. It wasn't consistent together. The way I look at it is when you make instant pudding. Vanilla is my favorite, by the way. When you start to make it and you put the milk in. Now you have to, I learned this. This is something I've learned. You probably know this already. You start with the milk, then you put the powder in. Now, why do you do that? I got one person knows. Well, that's great. You're learning something new here today. If you start with the powder, it gets all stuck to the outside of the bowl. So you put the milk in first, then the powder, and it's less likely to stick to the outsides. And so as you make that, at first, it's really thin and runny, but literally a miraculous thing happens, doesn't it? At a certain point in time, it doesn't matter if you stir fast or slow. At a certain moment, what happens? It coagulates, right? And becomes pudding. And then what you do, I'll tell you what I do. I put fruit in it. So that way I have a balanced diet, right? Pudding and fruit. So I try to feel better about myself when I do that. But the point is, it becomes coagulated. It becomes pudding. There's thickness to it. Well, in a sense, that's how the world was before God moved. It was just, the materials were kind of sitting there. He put them there in the first place. But as the Holy Spirit began to act there, things began to coagulate, began to form and come together. In fact, the word says there that the Holy Spirit hovered, kind of a weird word, right? Hovered over the face of the waters. Well, that word in the original language, actually you could actually translate it as brood, brooded over. Now, all of a sudden, you maybe see a picture in your mind of like a hen with chicks, how that hen would brood over chicks and protect them and keep them safe. Well, that's literally what this is talking about, that there's like a parent looking after a child, that something was happening. So it wasn't that, you know, that the Holy Spirit was hovering, ooh, you know, that's not what this is about, that he was there to do something. And the first thing that he did was bring light. First thing. What a picture for you and I. I believe that this is symbolic of God's plan for us as human beings. Here he is at creation at the very beginning, bringing things in order with the person of the Holy Spirit being in the very middle of the mix of it. Well, for you and I, we have some of the same issues, don't we? Before we meet Jesus, we've got some void issues. We've got some emptiness issues. In fact, when you translate that, it means confused and empty. That's what the word says there. Confused and empty. You can look. Without form and void means confused and empty in the original language. And then Jesus comes along. Holy Spirit comes along in the form of Jesus and touches our hearts. And what happens? Things begin to coagulate. Things begin to change in our lives. Light and life and love begins to come into us. And change begins to happen. What a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer today. So, it's clear to see that the Holy Spirit always has been here from the very beginning, always will be here, but it doesn't stop there. One of the issues that many Christians even believe is, yeah, God's everywhere. Okay, that's great. I get that. But God wants to have a personal relationship with you. Sure, we're held together by his word. That's what the Bible says. Believers and unbelievers alike are held together by the living word of God. That's what the Bible says. But God wants to do more than that for us as believers. And so if you'll go to Ephesians chapter 1, let me just show you what he's done. Now, for some of you, this is review, but for some of you, you need to just step it up a little bit and realize that the Holy Spirit isn't just a power source. It's not like electricity running through these lights. In fact, if I unplugged one of these lights, would the electricity say, ow, that hurts? Or if I plugged it in and out, would that hurt electricity? No, it wouldn't. But do you know the Bible says this? Do not grieve the Spirit of God. That's what the Bible says. So that means that the Holy Spirit isn't a power source just. He is powerful, all powerful. He's God. But that he actually is a person. You might say, well, grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't understand that. Well, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. We don't worship three different gods. We worship one God in three different forms, in a sense. Three different aspects. Same God. So, can you think more clearly if you think I grieved Jesus or you grieved the Father? If you like that better, think that way. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit. He's three in one. Just as you and I are created in three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Yet here I am. Do you see three pieces of me here? No, you see one. One round, large piece. But the point is, one piece. And so what we have to do as believers is acknowledge that the Spirit of God is a person. And not a person in a long-distance relationship, but a person that wants to talk and minister to you on a daily basis. That's what he wants to do. So how does this all happen? When does the Holy Spirit transfer, in a sense, from out here to into a personal relationship? Well, we're told in several places in the Bible, but in Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 13, it says this, in him, or Jesus, you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So if you look at verse 13, it very clearly says that at salvation, at that moment where you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What's that word sealed mean? Did you get put into a Ziploc bag and thrown into a freezer? No, that's not what it's talking about. When it says sealed, that word actually means to be stamped. So remember in the old days where you used to have the ink blotters, you know, and you could take a stamp, a rubber stamp, and you'd hit it and then stamp something? Well, literally, that's what this means, is that somehow, indelibly, you had been marked by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, you're a marked man. You're a marked woman now. And God knows that you belong to him. See, that helps me understand that it's not by works, but by grace that I'm saved. Because sometimes we get caught up, well, I was good this week, so I guess God, you know, if God calls me home, I'll get a ride. But last week. Man, that wasn't a good week. I'm glad he didn't come back then or I wouldn't have got picked up. Well, the thing is, that's because we're living a life of works, a life of our performance. But you see, that's not how God sees you and I. When he looks down from heaven, he sees his children and he sees those who are not yet his children. He loves them both the same. But how does he see the difference? He sees them because the ones that are his children are marked with the Holy Spirit of God because God is dwelling in them. Isn't that good to know? It's not based upon your performance. It's based upon his performance on the cross of Calvary. He's done it all for us. Amen? And so that personal relationship begins the day that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that day of salvation. The Holy Spirit came and lived in you. Now, does that mean you instantaneously have this really close walk with God? No. No. He's there. He's in one room in the house of your life, so to speak. But the question is, are you letting him in and are you going to him in conversations and spending time with him? See, it's a growth thing. You have to grow up in the Lord. For some of us, there's some people I know that like a day later, they're walking and talking with Jesus like he's standing right there. And then for some of us, it takes weeks and months and maybe years. Maybe you haven't heard what we're talking about now and didn't even realize you could even have a personal relationship that way. You just say, okay, well, God's good, and yeah, I sing about him, and I talk about him, and yeah, I've believed on him, but I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. In fact, you're in good company. There were some people in the Bible that came along and said that as well. And once they were told about it, they came into that personal relationship. It's that easy. Isn't it good to know? You just have to ask them. Right there in your seat right now, you might say, well, look, I get this. I sort of understand. You could say right now to heaven, just look up and say, I want to walk with Jesus. I want to have a conversation with him. And you know what he says? Okay, and we'll have that. And you can move on then and grow in your relationship with him. But it all begins the moment of salvation, where he now becomes personal. He's always been, but he becomes personal in your heart. What else does he do? What else does the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, if you look in Romans 8, verse 15, it says this, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So not only does the Holy Spirit want to spend time with you in a personal way and interact with you, but he wants to make sure that you know that you're accepted in a household in heaven. That's amazing. That you are a child of the Most High God. Adopted. Now here's the thing. Adoption nowadays has over the years been maybe a little bit twisted from what it used to be. But let me tell you what it was in Bible times. When you were adopted into a family in Bible times, it was as if you were naturally born into that family. You accepted the name, you accepted, you know, the culture, you accepted everything about that family. And if they had naturally born kids, if you know what I'm saying, maybe two or three of them, and then you were an adopted one, you weren't treated as someone different. You were just treated all the same. And in fact, this scripture even talks about that. It says that to call Abba, Father. You know what the word Abba means? Papa. The idea is that personal intimacy, that thing that when you come into the presence of someone, there's complete trust in knowing that they have your best interests in mind and they just love you dearly. And that is accomplished through the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. See, you'll see in the Bible, that's interchanged a lot. It talks about Christ in you. It talks about the Father coming and living in you and talking about the Holy Spirit living in you. It can get kind of confusing if you're thinking in the form of three gods, but there's not three gods. Three in one. And so he comes, he lives in you, and he wants to talk to you and help you in life. In fact, if we go on, if we look at Romans 8:26, just a few verses down, it says this, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Just last week, I was spending time in prayer. Now, I'll tell you how I pray. Everybody can pray. You can pray however you want. But I pray, I just talk to Jesus. Just as you see me up here talking to you, I walk around. I usually don't sit because I get sleepy. I get sleepy easy, so I need to walk around. So I was walking around talking with Jesus. I was just talking to him about different things, asking him about things and spending time with him. And all of a sudden, an image came to my mind of a person's face. It was a little boy's face. And I recognized immediately who it was. It was a young boy by the name of Mikey. And he was part of our boys' club 10, 12 years ago. We had this boys club. We had a whole bunch of young boys, and we thought, you know, let's have kind of a Boy Scout kind of thing once a week and just do some activities and share Jesus with these young people. And most of them were from outside the church, and Mikey was one of these kids that came along. Just a little skinny kid. He came, and I remember and spent time. He had accepted Jesus during our times together. And so I forgot all about him. You know, time goes by. He, you know, outgrew the class because he got too old, and life moves on. Hadn't seen him for 10-plus years. So his face comes to my mind. And the Holy Spirit says, you just need to lift him up, pray for him. So I just start praying for him. And again, I just had this impression. It wasn't so much that God said, just his face is there. I begin to lift him up. I say, Lord, you know, bless Mikey wherever he is, Lord. I'm sure he's a young man now. He may have a family. I don't know where he is, but Lord, you do. And I just took 5-10 minutes and just prayed for him. And then after I felt that burden not to pray anymore, I stopped. Life goes on. So that day, later that day, Sandra and I went to Dollar General. How many people have been at Dollar General? You know, you think you're getting a great deal, but can I tell you that $1 plus $1 plus $1, you could spend a lot of money there, can't you? So anyway, so we're in there, you know, and we're getting a whole bunch of things that Sandra needed. And so we're in the checkout line. So we're there, and this line, it was a long line. There was about 8 or 10 people in a line. So we're in about the middle of the line. Now, the most bizarre thing started to happen. It was odd. All of a sudden, the guy in front of us decides he forgot something. So he leaves to go get something else. And then a bunch of people behind me, they start shuffling around. It was literally like supernaturally the entire line was getting shuffled like a deck of cards and getting moved around. And even Sandra and I, we're looking around like, what's going on? Because we're just standing there in line. People are coming, people are going. And so it all settles. After about 2 minutes, it seems to get to the line that it's supposed to be, I guess. So we're still a couple people away from the checkout. So I look behind me and I see this bearded, you know, man is about 25 years old, and I glance at him, and I glance back, and the Holy Spirit said, that's him. And I'm like, what do you mean that's him? That's who? So I look back at this kid, you know, this young man, and he's got this big beard, you know, and you know, got a hat on, and I look at him and say, man, I do kind of reckon, I wonder who that is. Turn back again, and the Lord says, that's Mikey. So I look back again, and I look at his eyes. The eyes, I'll tell you, that's why people wear, you know, sunglasses to kind of hide who they are. I look at his eyes and said, that's Mikey. So I turn around again, and I'm like, I'm just imagining things. And the Lord said, no, that's it. So I turn around and say, is your name Mikey? So he looks at me, how do you know? Like he's like ready to, you know, karate chop me. And I said, do you have a little brother? And I name his little brother as well. He goes, how do you know? So I had a hat on. I took my hat off. That didn't help much because... And yeah, I had more hair back 10 years ago. And I go, I'm the guy from church. He goes, oh, yeah. So anyway, we engaged in this conversation. Now, let me tell you something. That was Holy Spirit divine moment. How did that all happen? It all began because I walked with Jesus, just like you do if you know Jesus as your Savior. And he showed me something. I prayed about it, gave it to him, not looking for anything, but prayed it through because I didn't know how to pray for him. Just prayed. And then all of a sudden, that day, he shuffles the line, puts this guy right behind me. Isn't that miraculous? Think about all the, you know, what are the chances I prayed for him that day? What are the chances I was in the same store that day? What are the chances he'd be standing behind me that day? What are the chances? You begin to see there's no chances of it at all, but divine moments. That's what the Holy Spirit of God wants to give you on a daily basis. Where when you're at your job and you're like, God, I don't know what to do. You have got a built-in Holy Spirit counselor that wants to help you and guide you in divine ways beyond your understanding if you just ask him. But the thing is, for some of us, and I'm one of those, it was like with that argument with God, I don't think that's Mikey. You know, I could have just said no and missed out on a divine moment that God had purposed for us to have. And the thing is, God's got those same divine moments for you as well. God's irrespective of people. You know what that means? He loves you as much as he loves me. And it's the same Holy Spirit. You know, if you think about the Coke illustration that we just seen, no matter what size the bottle is, it's still Coke. If you drink from the 2-liter bottle, it tastes the same as the little bottle that Alexis had. It's the same Coke. It's the same Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. And when we see the bigger amounts in each one, what we're really seeing is different manifestations of the gifts. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's just the outworking. In other words, when you see more in someone else, all they've done is just said, Jesus, use me more. And God just came out of them more. In other words, they were just being poured out. But it's the same amount of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You see what I'm saying? It's the same amount in each one of us. But what we see in other people is just different levels of him getting out of us. See, he wants out. He wants out. He wants to manifest his gifts and his fruit in your life. Why? So that he can be glorified. It's all about that. It all goes back to him. But in the process of him being glorified, we're blessed. You know, that Mikey story, that's one for the bank, if you know what I'm saying. I'll remember that forever. And that was a milestone moment in my life where I could say, God, you did a miracle. And God wants to do those things in your life and in mine to remind us that he's still at work today. He's not just a God that died on the cross 2,000 years ago and is not actively participating in our lives. He is every single day. The question is, will we let him? Will we allow him? You know, or are we like kind of Alexis where we're kind of arguing with him? I want that instead. You see, the minute we get pulled down to those petty ways of thinking, then we miss out on what God really wants to do in our lives to help us grow and expand in who he is in us. Amen? Okay. So he helps us in our weaknesses. Look at this. John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. So Jesus hadn't yet gone to heaven, but he's talking to them about what's going to happen. He says, but the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I put in parenthesis comforter because some old versions, like King James Version, calls the helper comforter. And I think that's a wonderful way to word it. Jesus, through the form of the Holy Spirit, wants to comfort us in times of difficulty. How many people here have been a Christian for more than a year? All right, let me ask the next question. How many people have gone through some difficult times in that year? Well, just so you know, if there's a camera up here, you would see that the same hands went up. Point being that in our Christian walk, God never promised that things would be easier, but he promised that he'd be with us. So you're just not alone through what's going on. And so here he is as a comforter. You're going through maybe a death in your family, a death of a friend, loved one, sickness, different financial issues. The list goes on and on of all the different things that can happen. But the comforter, the Holy Spirit, is there to put his arms around you to say, I'm with you. You're not alone through this. Isn't it good to know that he's there? And he's not there to judge you. He's not going to, you know, critique you and say, well, you're here because you did this and this and this wrong. Now, he'll help you if you say, Lord, how did I get here? But in such a loving way that you won't feel condemned. You'll be just brought to a place of, Lord, what do I do? What must I do? And then he has the solution. See, that's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit living in you. Not only does he want to comfort you, but he also has a solution to your crisis that you're going through at this very moment. Isn't it good to know that? But are we calling upon him? Or are we depending or leaning upon the world and the systems that are in place in the world for unbelievers? You see, God has built in a counselor on the inside, one who wants to teach you and bring to remembrance things that you ought to know. Now, if God's going to remind you about something, what does that mean? It already has to be in there. Like, if I go to the grocery store and I buy a bunch of groceries, Sandra gives me a list, and I go by that list and I buy everything. And I come back and she says, where's the eggs? And I pull out the list and say, there was no eggs on this list. I'm innocent then, by the way, if that happens. I am not a mind reader. You know, she said, well, you would know there was a... Anyway, you ladies think that we're mind readers. Can I tell you that we don't even understand the English language very well? You got to really spell it out for us guys, all right? But the point being that it has to have been there for me to know it's there to be reminded. So I'm going to say something to you that for some of you, you may not like what I'm going to say to you. The language of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, here's what I mean by that. The more you allow God's word to be a part of your life, the more it opens up for God to be able to speak to you by his Spirit. Because he only speaks the word. That's all he speaks, if you see what I'm saying. And so what you have to understand is if you want to expand the language in the Spirit for yourself, then you have to put God's word on the inside. And I don't mean just reading it. Just, okay, God, yeah, I read two chapters today. I've done my part, my token. I'm talking about reading it, ruminating it, understanding it, digging into it, seeking God with it. So it's not just that you speed read, that you know, you got the cliff notes for the books of the Bible. That doesn't work with God. But rather, you're allowing him to speak to you through it. And that opens up a whole new realm for God to speak. And finally today, the last thing I want to leave you with as far as the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside is that he wants to give you power. In Acts 1:8 says this, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost, or when the Holy Spirit, some versions say, has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That word power, there's two words for power in the original language of the Bible. And this word is dunamis, and that means the explosive or dynamite power of God. You know, there's been a bit of a, I'll call it a revival in the world concerning superheroes. How many people have seen a superhero movie in the last couple years? Yeah, amazing. In fact, DC Comics and Marvel comic book companies, they were on the verge of bankruptcy. And then I think it was Marvel said, you know, why don't we make a superhero movie? They did it, and now they're raking in billions, not millions, billions of dollars as a result of it. Well, why are superhero movies taking off? It's because all of us want to have some kind of supernatural ability. You know, we want to either do what Superman does. You know, the new one that came out, you know, with Wonder Woman, you know, that was the highest grossing, one of the highest grossing superhero movies. You know why? Half the population are ladies. So ladies were feeling left out, right? So all of a sudden think about this. There's not a wife here in the world or here in the world that wouldn't like to have a lasso to wrap around their husband to make them tell the truth. Come on. You want that lasso. You know what I'm saying? And all the other gifts that she's got. My point is that we all would love to have one of those gifts, wouldn't we? Well, I want to tell you something. You have something greater in you than any superhero. You have the Holy Spirit of God, the one that created all the universes that we can see and can't see, lives inside of you. Isn't that amazing? And that he has given you gifts. And it's up to you and I to begin to practice those gifts. You know, if you look at Spider-Man, I remember when he first came out, when he first got his superpower. Well, all they could do was make little spider webs in his room, if you remember watching it. And then, you know, a while later, he's swinging from buildings. And the point is, it's the same for you and I. You don't instantly become, you know, a superhero in God. There's practicing, there's walking with him, learning with him, growing in him. And you develop the God-given gift that God has given specifically to you. But I'm not here to talk about the gifts. I'm here to remind you about the gift giver. And that's the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you. To recognize him as a person, not a power source, not anything like that, although he is all powerful, but that he is a person and that he wants to walk with you on a daily basis. That's God's heart for you. So, you know, maybe in a sense this is 101 thinking, but I believe that at times we need to be reminded of the basics of Christianity, that God has given us something that's a gift beyond all gifts, and he abides in you. And he's just a call away, you know, closer than a cell phone. He just need to invite him and say, Lord, I just want to talk to you. And he will interact with you. I can't promise you that he'll speak with a voice. I can't promise you that. But I promise you that he will interact with you. You may just have a feeling on the inside to do something or not do something. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Practice that. After a while, you'll learn, is that God or is that just too much pizza last night? You understand what I'm saying? You learn after a while. What do? You got to step out. And then when you see, oh man, I made that decision and it worked out. Oh, I guess that's the voice of God speaking to me. And you learn to tune into that and you know when it's God and when it's not. But you have to practice. You have to take a step of faith. Now, if you're a safe person like me, for those of you that know this church, you know, our administrative end of it, I have redundancy after redundancy after redundancy built in. Why? Because I believe in safety. I believe in, you know, something goes wrong, then let's do this instead. I have a plan of a plan of a plan, if you see what I'm saying. But there are times where God says, you've got to step outside that plan. You've got to take that step of faith, of trusting him, and then that's when the miracles happen. So there's nothing wrong with being organized. But when God says, do this instead, take the chance. And let the Holy Spirit do miracles in you and through you. You know, talking about Mikey in that story. Listen, I'm sure Mikey was touched. But I was blessed to be a vessel that God could use. How many here would love to be a vessel that God could use? Well, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're all qualified and eligible. Because he lives in you. Doesn't matter the size of the Coke bottle. You've got Coke in you. You know what I'm saying? You've got Jesus in you. He is inside. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask Karen to come up. We're going to finish with a song of worship. And here's my question to you. Where are you in your personal walk with the Holy Spirit? Maybe up until this point, you just kind of saw him as the third silent partner of the Trinity. You know, maybe you didn't realize that he's someone you can talk to. Because when you're talking to Jesus, you're talking to the Holy Spirit. When you're talking to God the Father, you're talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. So as we worship with this last song, we're going to, at the end, we'll close in a word of prayer and release you. But I want you to take just a couple minutes and just consult with God. Say, Lord, where am I in my walk? And ask Him, what's the next step for me? And if you'd like prayer and agreement for that during the worship here, please feel free to come up here and we will pray with you. The ministry teams are here. You can stay right where you are. But I just encourage you, seek Him. Let Jesus talk to you in a new level, in a fresh new way. He's waiting. He really is. He's just waiting for that invitation. And He wants to do things you couldn't imagine in your life in a special way.